Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board today. We look forward to this meeting on the air each and every day as we face the issues. I pray that you look forward to it, that you invite friends and relatives, neighbors, and family members to join in the dialogue and discussion each day at this same time as we face the issues. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. So many times, people will discuss issues and things without having the facts, or they will have their own facts. We need to have the facts of Scripture. What does the Word of God say? We need to understand that the Scripture is the first, foremost, final authority on all that we think, say, or do. However, we find in our world today, we have those that will make determination decisions, even as so-called Christians, based on denominational dogma, some rites, rituals, rules, or regulations, rather than what the Word of God says. Multitudes of times, I've seen people down through the years that will think they're quoting Scripture, and they're quoting something out of some club or some organizational handbook, and it's not even found in the Word of God. We find so many times that's taking place in Nancy Pelosi's life and in the life of multitudes of those in the House and the Senate today that are thinking that they will going to, in some way, undermine President Trump's evangelical Christian base. We'll talk about that during the broadcast today, but let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the Word of God, the Scripture, which is the whole truth, the truth and nothing but the truth, if you please. And Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He made that statement to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32. And then in John 17:17, he tells us emphatically what truth is. He says, thy word is truth. It's the Word of God. In fact, in Psalms 119, the entire chapter is talking about the Word of God. God's Word is His principles, His precepts, commandments, all recorded in the 119th chapter of Psalms. Wonderful study, by the way. If you'd study the book of Psalms, in fact, it will probably take you 30 minutes, 45 minutes to read all the 119th chapter. It's well worth reading. It's talking about the Word of God. But ladies and gentlemen, you can dial 904-831-0917. That's the telephone number to get you directly through to the radio station, to our studios, and the microphone so that we can have dialogue and discussion together. It's our delight to have you participate each day. This program is designed around the Q&A concept. You can call in and ask the questions, give your input. Some said on one occasion, I want to give my 2 cents worth. That's fine. Some of you may disagree. That's wonderful. I'm not going to be disagreeable, but we're going to agree that the final answer is based on what the Word of God says and His authority, not mine and yours. And as we look at the Scripture, we understand that God created the home, He created government, and He created the church. And so, ladies and gentlemen, if you're saved, if you're a Christian, even if you're a pastor, and you speak on any issue dealing with the home, the family, the church, doctrine and theology, on government and governmental plans and policies and people, you're still in the confines of the Word of God. We need not to be ashamed to stand and speak the truth in love. I think it's time Christians come out of the closet. I think it's time that we stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen. I think it's time we are verbal and visible, not in an angry way, but in a manner that says to the world that we're not ashamed of Jesus. We're going to stand for the Word of God. That's what we need to stand for every day, ladies and gentlemen. We need to do so being salt and light. Jesus says that that's what we ought to be. And he also says, if salt has lost its savor, it is no good, has no value, except to be cast out and trodden underfoot. And speaking of the church is to be salt. The Christian, the body of Christ, is known as the salt of the earth. We need to be that salt. We need to be preservative. We need also be light that's illuminating in a darkened world. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today believing in an imaginary God. Believing in an imaginary God. I am sure you're thinking, well, what in the world is that man talking about? What are you talking about believing in an imaginary God? How is that possible? Well, I am saddened to say that it seems that way in so many lives and so many realms of society today. Those that believe in homosexuality, as Pete Buttigieg, the candidate that's running for president of the United States. He's the mayor of South Bend, Indiana. Pete Buttigieg's always making fun of, making light of, condemning Christians for if they were to say anything about his sodomite lifestyle. And he's saying God created him that way. And he's talking about how his life has been so changed and been so marvelously, miraculously helped that he married his male partner, which is his husband, as he calls it. He talks about how his life's been so wonderful that God has blessed him so. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's an imaginary God. That's not the God of the Scripture. That's not the God of my Bible. That's not the God that created the heavens and the earth. That's not the God that gave us his written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word. If it were, we could make God a liar because God says that a sodomite lifestyle is an abomination, and he wiped out, destroyed two cities and all the plains round about, according to Genesis chapter 19, verse 24 and 25, as a result of that lifestyle. That's believing in and talking about an imaginary God that is not the God of the Bible. But ladies and gentlemen, the Socialist Democratic Party seems to have no leader today. I don't know if you've noticed that. Nancy Pelosi was elected by her caucus, by her constituents in the Socialist Democratic Party as being the leader of the House. But Nancy Pelosi carries the gavel, but she has no power. As what has lately become known as the Squad, the four Socialist Democrats, the new freshmen, some of the new freshmen in the House, led by AOC, are now called the Squad. It seems to be they seem to be the leaders of the Democratic Party today. And President Trump calls AOC and Ilhan Omar and Rashid Tlaib and Anaya Presley as being the Squad. That's what they're called, and he calls on them to just leave America. Now, some think that's pretty. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. I've heard two or three of the mealy-mouthed rhinos, that's Republicans in name only, have something to say about President Trump's tweet in relationship to the Squad. These four anti-American, socialist, communist leaders that's in the House, they have de facto taken the control of the House of Representatives today away from Nancy Pelosi. And he said, just leave America if you don't like America. Well, let's face it. Even Lindsey Graham, senator from South Carolina, called these four, it's called the Squad. He called the Squad a bunch of communists. But what can you expect from four women, U.S. House of Representatives, that are left-wing, socialist, and Islamic jihadist? Here's an article where Lindsey Graham, the article says, Lindsey Graham unloads four Dems, lawmakers, a bunch of communists. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has introduced a House resolution calling President Trump's tweets over the weekend racist and xenophobic. But Republican U.S. Senator Lindsey Graham said Monday the focus of outrage should be the four communist congresswomen that Trump was condemning. Quote, well, we all know that New York Representative Alexander Ocasio-Cortez and this crowd are a bunch of communists. They hate Israel. They hate our country. Graham said in an interview with Fox and Friends television, quote, they're calling the Squad along our borders. They're calling the guards along our borders, the Border Patrol agents, concentration camp guards. They accuse people who support Israel of doing it for the Benjamins. That's talking about the $100 bills. They're anti-Semitic. They're anti-American, Lindsey Graham says, end quote. Omar said, we live in a society that is the one that is Tlaib Omar, the one that is the most vocal of the socialist jihadist House members. Omar said, we live in a society that govern and a body that might value the life of a dog more than they value the life of a child who might not look like theirs. She's condemning our system of government and our rule of law and our constitutional republic. She's condemning it, and she's saying that the way we're treating kids at the border, that we treat dogs in America better than we treat those kids at the border. That's her accusation. That's what she's saying about President Trump. Trump wrote Sunday via Twitter, the radical left congresswomen should apologize to the nation and to Israel for the terrible things they have said, writing that they originally came from countries whose governments are a complete and total catastrophe. He said, they need to go back and help fix the totally broken, crime-infested places from which they came. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but I second the motion. Now, I don't believe he said that. Ladies and gentlemen, if you hate America, don't come to America and expect to have a place of authority and position of leadership in the U.S. House of Representatives. When it comes to that individual, Omar, and looking at how she got here and what is taking place with her, in fact, I'll talk more about that in the broadcast, but it's egregious to think that she would stand and be in a confrontational mood in relationship to what President Trump's doing, trying to protect our borders and the rule of law at the southern border. Here's an article that says AOC, Omar Presley Tlaib, who are the squad of congresswomen. The article says U.S. President Donald Trump has sparked a racial controversy this weekend with tweets calling on the several Democratic congresswomen of color to go home. The congresswomen Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, Rashid Tlaib, and Anna Presley, all American citizens, accused the president of being racist. Mr. Trump did not explicitly name the women, but the context of the reference established a very clear link in those four women. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize that our nation is in trouble when we have these that are out-and-out total socialist / communist. By the way, socialism is communism light, L-I-T-E. When you have that, and mixed with that, the Islamic jihadist, and by the way, if you study the Quran as I have, if you look at what the Quran says, they hate America, they hate the American system, and they have the authority of what is called abrogation, where one surah, one verse, or one text in the Quran takes precedence over the other, and then that outdates the other, and therefore the other is no longer valid in the eyes of the Islamic scholars, as it's called. And so they have the authority to lie and be deceitful. And they also hate Jerusalem, they hate Israel and all Jews, they hate America, and yet come in, and by the way, when you look at Omar's background and how she got here, she came from Somalia, she came on a visa that supposedly was from her, one that was going to be her husband, wound up as you research and study, that she married her brother. They had, I think, one or two children, according to the research that I've done. And so she came on false pretense. She came on an immoral, ungodly, unholy basis. And yet she's supposed to have a voice in the U.S. House of Representatives in telling us and our president what we ought to do. Ladies and gentlemen, it's an egregious thing to me when we see these things taking place. They hate Israel. They want Israel to be destroyed. They will not in any way say anything in a fashion that condemns anything that is the terrorism that's taking place in America or around the globe. And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, Omar even questions the patriotism of all American-born citizens. This is what she said in relationship to that. Omar questions the patriotism of American-born citizens. Freshman Representative Ilhan Omar, Democrat, Minnesota, on Saturday questioned the patriotism of American-born citizens, claiming she probably loves this country more than anyone who is a naturally born citizen in the United States. Further, the article says, It is that I am anti-American because I criticize the United States of America, she said. I believe, as an immigrant, I probably love this country more than anyone that is naturally born, and because I am ashamed of it to continue to live in hypocrisy. Living in hypocrisy, when she came on a hypocritical lie basis into this nation, coming from Somalia. She came with a visa that was false and phony. She is married to was married to an individual that's her brother that was claimed to be her husband. And she talks about hypocrisy of Americans and what's happening in our system today. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says what voters really think of Omar and Ocasio-Cortez. They think that they're up on the totem pole because they got a lot of Twitter followers. But the fact is that only 22% of the voters had a favorable view of Ocasio-Cortez, and only 9% of a positive view of Omar. But yet they think they are really in power because of the Twitter and their stand on Twitter and the social media. I believe we have a call on the phone. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
I think this is all rather interesting. This group of these ladies that seem to have disdain for America, they're kind of the sisterhood of ignorance and hate. Somehow or another, they've become the most high profile. Could you imagine being one of these other members of Congress, and you realize that these individuals that are so very ignorant, and so very hateful, and so very loud, they get so much, you know, FaceTime with the media. Right now, Nancy Pelosi is no longer the leader. AOC is the de facto Speaker of the House. I mean, she has gained so much attention. I mean, her following is so much larger than the following of Nancy Pelosi. She is the leader of the party, the de facto leader of the party. If you want to know what the core of the party believes, just look at AOC. I mean, that's how I'm viewing this now, because Nancy Pelosi was scolding AOC for basically running her mouth and talking down the leadership. And immediately AOC says, "You're racist," you know, calling Nancy Pelosi a racist. Donald Trump stepped in to the defense of Nancy Pelosi and says, "She's not a racist." You know, basically she's calling you out, you know, it's thinking, I believe, she's calling you out for being ignorant. And when you call somebody out for being ignorant, it doesn't make you a racist because that person happens to be of minority descent. It's a farce. It is ridiculous how everything has been called racism in this day. Donald Trump's tweet was perhaps inartful. It was perhaps politically incorrect. It was perhaps, you know, could have been worded better. He could have changed the plural to a singular, because I think the focus was on a lot to do with Ilhan Omar. You know, they're running in a group together now. You know, these four seem to be like-minded.
That's the reason they call the squad now.
No, the sisterhood of ignorance and hate. This sisterhood of ignorance and hate, I was taught from a young child, birds of a feather flock together. You know, essentially, these birds of a feather are flocking together. They're from different places. They're from different cultures. But Ilhan Omar has a level of hate and disdain. It's amazing. She cannot call Al-Qaeda a terrorist organization. Matter of fact, when she talks about Al-Qaeda, she talks about how people have done things in order, in response to what America has done. Basically, America is the evil, and when terrorist acts take place from groups like Al-Qaeda, they are just responding to the bad actions of America. You know, so it is a perverse thing for this individual to be given any moral authority. And to say, go back to your country. Well, Ilhan Omar came here. Go ahead.
Tlaib won't even, Omar won't even condemn what happened at Mogadishu when our men were slain. And yet she is the beneficiary of being able to come to America under the umbrella and the falsity of a false visa. But yet she won't even condemn that act of terrorism where multitudes of our military men were slain.
The reality is American soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines have shed a lot of blood in defense of horrible countries and horrible settings. These individuals, her being rescued from a camp herself, you know, when they evacuated as refugees to another nation, and then eventually 2 or 3 years in, they were rescued, allowed to come to the United States of America. Here she has been more blessed and had more opportunities than any other place on God's green earth. There's no other place on God's green earth where she would have advanced academically, and she would have advanced politically, and she would have advanced socially, financially. There's no other place on earth. And by the way, she came here at 12. I believe the issues that she had with the immigration was to bring her brother here, you know, after she became a citizen, and bring right. him here on this farce of a marriage. Regardless, that's kind of a side point. Her hatred for America is palpable. The notion that Donald Trump is evil for saying the things he said, someone needs to say, it'd be great if Donald Trump could have a filter. You know, that someone could be the word master for him, so as to make sure that things are artfully stated. But he is so much like the rest of us. You know, he spits it out, and then you go, oh, I'd like to change that word. I think most of us do that. If we're honest, most of us do that. You know, and he was tagged, as much as I like Ben Shapiro, he was tagged, this comment was tagged as being xenophobic. You look at a definition for xenophobia, it's dislike or prejudice against a people from other countries. And I'm going, that doesn't fit, because he doesn't have a prejudice, a prejudging of a person. These individuals have run their mouth and been hateful and indecent, not just to Donald Trump. I mean, these people were ripping Nancy Pelosi apart.
Hey, Greg, I just got a thought that if Donald Trump hates them because they're immigrants, that means he hates his own wife. He doesn't love his own wife.
Isn't that a little absurd?
Yeah.
We've come to a crazy place in this nation, and of course it's much to do with the dumbing down of America through the school system, but also the willing participation of the mainstream media, lamestream media, some will call it, your MSNBC, PMSNBC, as Rush would call it, ABC, CBS, CNN. These outlets are absolutely they're playing to a twisted view. Everything goes through this prism of hate for Trump or hate for America. America's always at fault if we're doing something good, and anything that Trump says is immediately racist or xenophobic or hateful before he even speaks the words. It's almost like Donald Trump is going to take the podium this afternoon at 2 o'clock, and he will say racist things.
They make that decision before he ever even speaks. Greg, let's think for a moment and kind of switch gears, because with all of this being said, we have about two dozen, a little less than two dozen now. Eric Swalwell dropped out of the Socialist Democratic race for president, so we've got about two dozen, though, that's running. And along with Nancy Pelosi and the squad and the two dozen that's running for president, there's one common denominator that I think we need to talk about, and that is they're all trying to attack President Donald J. Trump's evangelical Christian base. All that they say is trying to demean him, and anything that will look moral, ethical, and spiritual or have any biblical value or anything that will be pointing in that direction, they're trying to undermine and tear down and destroy it. Nancy Pelosi refers to God oftentimes as she's talking in her half quotes of scripture or by saying the border wall is immoral. She says, she didn't say it's immoral, she said it's an immorality. She also quotes what she says is in the Bible, but it's not there at all. I find it egregious when ABC News, by the way, ABC is always bashing Christians. NBC is nothing but Christian bashing. And then you have CNN as the Communist Network News. All of those networks are just bashing Christians, trying to bash Trump and destroy his evangelical / Christian base. Here's an article that says Nancy Pelosi keeps quoting her favorite Bible verses. The mystery is it's not actually in the Bible. And it goes on to say where she had quoted on one occasion, she says, and she's quoting us, she said, I'm going to quote from the Old Testament. And she says, to minister to the needs of God's creation is an act of worship. To ignore those needs is to dishonor God who made us, end quote. That's her quote. And then she's asked a question, but she's okay. Actually, she said, it might not technically be in the Bible. I can't find it in the Bible, but I quote it all the time because I believe that someplace in the Old Testament it says that. She says, I keep reading and reading and rereading the Bible. I know it's there somewhere. It's supposed to be in Isaiah. Now, she continues to open her mouth and put her foot in when she talks about biblical things and destroying the scripture, but she's doing so to try to undermine President Trump and his evangelical base. And I find it enlightening, refreshing, and challenging when pastor First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, Dr. Robert Jeffers, says Democrats have created an imaginary God. Dallas pastor Robert Jeffers is claiming that the Democratic Party is a godless organization that promotes policies that are completely antithetical to the Christian faith. Quote, when they talk about God, they're not talking about the real God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who revealed himself in the Bible. Jeffers said Saturday, according to the Christian Post, these liberal Democrats are talking about an imaginary God that they have created in their own minds, a God who loves abortion and hates Israel, end quote. What do you think about that? What do you say to that statement from Dr. Jeffers? Is it right or is it wrong? What do you see taking place, and what are the dynamics of that?
I am thankful for his stand time and time again for decency and truth and for what's best for America and even what's best for Christianity within America. The reality is the left planned to pick Donald Trump to be the nominee because they knew about things like the Access Hollywood tapes. They knew about that long, long before he became the nominee. They figured they would set up the straw man of Donald Trump and then burn him to the ground. They did it on purpose. And what they failed to realize is the culture has become we're clued into what's going on with them. But they still attempt to drive a wedge. They know that if they can get Christians to stay home for the election, they can elect somebody out of their clown car in the Socialist Democrat Party over there. And that's what they want. That's their agenda. Get Christians to stay home and guarantee a victory by somebody in that clown car.
That's the reason I say, Greg, if I can interject this is the reason I say, for every Christian, we need to recognize that if we allow one out of their clown car, as you call it, one of the Socialist Democrats to become elected, we'll destroy anything that's called religious liberties, freedom of speech. Our First and Second Amendment will be by fiat totally destroyed. In fact, all 23 now of the Socialist Democrat candidates say that they're going to confiscate or remove or ban guns. They're all for murder by way of abortion. They're all for the religious liberties the freedom of speech being absolutely squashed. I believe we have another caller on the line. Greg, stay on and we'll have conversation and dialogue. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, where are the moral Democrats? Why doesn't one of them speak up and say, hold it, I'm not for this? You know, it's like we've always wondered, where are these Muslims that are against terrorism, but they never speak up?
That's because to answer your question very succinctly, I think it's an impossibility, not just an improbability, it's a total, utter impossibility to be a Democrat in the modern term of the Democratic Party, impossible to be a Democrat and a Christian simultaneously. It's an oxymoron to say I'm a Christian Democrat. And secondly, to find an Islamic that's going to condemn terrorism would be antithetical to the Quran. If they believe in, follow, and practice the Quran, therefore jihad, that is, terrorism, and therefore they cannot condemn it. And that's the major problem now with Omar. If she believes in and follows and practices the Quran, she cannot openly, honestly, verbally condemn anything that's called a terrorist act. But I am so thankful for you calling for your question, and I am prayerful that Christians will listen up and understand that we're in a position today that we must stand up and speak up. Greg, let's in the next couple of minutes for this broadcast, let's take a moment. And I want us to talk about the latest with Nancy Pelosi, where she talked about Donald Trump and compared him with a good Samaritan. And she partially quoted, bifurcated, but partially quoted the text in Luke. She said, I believe it's found in Luke, and it is in Luke's gospel, the 10th chapter, verses 25 through 37. And it's talking about the good Samaritan. And the good Samaritan story starts when an attorney tries to trip Jesus and asking him, who is my neighbor? And then Jesus, he's asking the question, how should I inherit the kingdom of God or eternal life? And Jesus tells him, and then he gives him the parable of the Good Samaritan. And Nancy Pelosi then says that Donald Trump is not the Good Samaritan because of what he's doing at the border. He's not treating those illegals that's coming in. He's not treating them with mercy and grace. And therefore, he is not practicing the scripture of being a Good Samaritan. Respond to that statement.
Listen, the Democratic Party, look at their platform. It is an evil platform from the get-go. To actually shroud in your party's platform or enshroud in the platform this notion of infanticide, you know, aborting all the way up to the moment of birth and even beyond birth, and that's in their party platform. But you know, they've started speaking this language of morality, and it's a whole different morality. I think you said earlier they worship a different God. It's a false religion. That's what's going on within that party today, and that's where I agree with you from the perspective of, you know, if you're analyzing what they're saying and you're analyzing what's in the party platform and you call yourself a Christian, you need to run away from that. Don't walk away. Run away from that party, because that party has left you way, way, way behind. Their morality is not what we would call morality. There's another point there. Share with me what your thought is on that. How does this fit into anything that could be construed as Christian? How can you twist a Bible verse to make it fit within the garbage that goes on within their party and platform?
Well, quickly, let me respond to it this way in the last 30 seconds that we have on this broadcast today. The Good Samaritan, when he bound up the wounds of the man and helped him, he used his own time, his own money. He didn't go to taxpayers and ask the taxpayers to pay for it. When he put him on his donkey and then took him to a local inn to be taken care of, he didn't call Uber and send the bill to the taxpayers. He took him there himself with his own cost out of his own pocket. When he left the innkeeper, he told him, here's the money. He didn't get the money out of the taxpayers' coffers. He pulled it out of his own pocket and gave it to the innkeeper to take care of him. And he said, if there's more cost, let me know. When I come back, I'll take care of the bill. He helped him. He paid for it out of his own pocket. The Good Samaritan used his own money, his own time, not taxpayers' money, as is being advocated for our folks coming in across the border that you're illegally. Where Nancy Pelosi and the squad wants them taken care of by taxpayers' dollars, wants us to give them free stuff, free education, free health care, free medical, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so you cannot compare that with the Good Samaritan parable that the Lord Jesus Christ gave in Luke's Gospel, the 10th chapter. Greg, take a moment and take us off the air today.
Ronald Reagan said that freedom is never more than one generation from extinction, and it's true today more than it's ever been.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you once again on the air as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.